So I want people to go into whatever level of real estate, and then I'll add to it whatever level of business. If you're going to do Airbnb, I want you to go into it with the mindset that you're excited about it and like a love affair that you love the idea, that you're
Yes, right.
excited, that you're passionate. So that way, when you hit the little bump in the road, you're happy to roll up your sleeves and figure out how to navigate it and get through it,
Yes.
not be over your head.
Is the show for me and you? The one you love to listen to. And ooh, you got your friends, see it through. Seeks laughter is medicine too.
Hello, my name is Angela Edge, and this is The Edge Show.
I'm Wendy Love Edge, and the opinions expressed by our guest may not be those of Edge Productions. This is Season 7, Episode 9, Business, Real Estate, and Rentals. Hey, Angela Edge, so good to see you.
Good to see you. Where have you been all my life?
I've been right here.
Yeah.
We have known each other a long time. I mean, I feel like many lifetimes. We've had so many different happenings and different incarnations of this wonderful relationship. So
Yeah.
thanks for being in my life.
Oh, thank you. Let's get mushy.
Let's get mushy. So
like potatoes.
Like potatoes. The edges are mushy like potatoes.
Yeah. Do you like my
that?
Sweater?
I love your sweater. If you're listening on podcasting or the radio, you are missing out on this sweater, which is vibrant, I think. It looks great on you.
I'm wearing it in celebration of it being 70 degrees outside, finally.
It's been really hot in Arkansas and in Massachusetts. We've had a really hot summer here in Massachusetts also.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Crazy times outside.
Yes. So it is nice to be able to put on a sweater and feel comfortable, I would imagine.
I love fall clothes.
Like, I do too. Yes.
Bundling up. It's not too cold. It's not too hot.
Yes.
You can wear layers.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel cozy and safe.
I love it. Well, you must be feeling very cozy and safe tonight in your sweater.
Exactly.
Well, this episode is about business, real estate, and rentals, as I mentioned in the beginning. And you have embarked on a short-term rental business. It's exciting.
Oh, yeah. It's a little stressful.
Yeah.
Because the I started an Airbnb in our house. So we split up half of the house and made the master suite its own unit and with its own entrance. And it's just, I think the stress of it is I had my first guest last week and I was kind of walking on the eggshells because it's in the same house.
Oh,
and I
right.
was just kind of like worried the dogs would be too loud or you know, I'd make too much noise in the kitchen or something like that. So that's a little awkward, but it seemed to work out. And the guy who stayed here gave me a 5-star rating.
All right.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're a little worried about, as you are with everything, you get very concerned with all the details, you know, and you want everything to be perfect.
Yeah.
But
and I
gosh,
know how
the suite is beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I know how I am with sounds a lot, like different noises really can grate at me and make me uncomfortable. So I kind of probably worry about it way too much.
Probably. And our guest today was telling me, I was talking with her about the sound issue, and she said actually a bookcase on the wall will actually absorb
that,
some of the
actually.
Sound.
Yeah, I read about that. I would love to make that whole wall one big bookcase. That'd be great.
Yeah. And as much as you love reading and books, it would be great anyway to have all the books in the house.
The only issue is then we can never move. Moving books, I learned at a very early age, is not a fun adventure.
Well, there's definitely lots to think about. Yeah. And my guest will give us even more to think about. So coming up next, Sandra Edwards. Joining me now is Sandra Edwards. Sandy has been a real estate professional for more than two decades. She started her Massachusetts brokerage, Edwards Real Estate, in 2000 and has helped thousands of consumers with their property needs. Now, author of the forthcoming book, The Real Deal About Real Estate, Sandra's expertise ranges from residential to commercial properties. Welcome to The Edge Show, Sandy.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you're here. You have so much to offer on this subject, and so I can't wait to dive in. I wanted to talk with you first about women in real estate, because I was reading today that women represent in the real estate industry the majority, actually, at this point, at 67% of realtors. I was really surprised by that. So what are your thoughts on that subject? And how did we get there with women being so involved in the real estate industry?
It's excellent. And it's one of, you know, we want more of this, right? It's one of the industries that there is sort of equal opportunity, but it's not as even as you might think, because if you look at the number of brokers, which is actually the ability to manage an office, that number is going to drastically change. And it's usually in the other direction. So when you talk about real estate brokers who manage offices, who supervise other people, who are really the bigger players, particularly in commercial real estate, that those still tend to be mostly male dominated. But because in the broader context of real estate transactions, including your residential real estate sales, which are just as important, we have really a need for people who are willing to be consumer advocates, to work and get along with people, to cooperate and negotiate. Mm-hmm. And women historically have been really great at that role, particularly one group that I've seen be very successful are former teachers who have come and made the transition from teaching and then kind of started on the side doing real estate and transitioned that way. It's not always that way, but a lot of times people that have been in the teaching profession have been able to be especially successful.
Very interesting, which teaching has historically also been female dominated. Exactly. So that's very interesting. I hadn't thought about that, people kind of transitioning. Does that happen a lot in real estate, or do people actually select that as their career, you know, right out of school?
You know, that's a good question. I have been around long enough that I can't tell you officially the trend right now. But over the years, and certainly when I started in real estate more than 20 years ago now, I had noticed it was mostly people in a second career, in a change of life situation, sometimes retirement, looking for maybe real estate was their secret passion that they hadn't developed at an earlier time. So I have definitely seen a lot of that in my life, but I don't know now. Certainly there are always some younger people who start right away, and every situation is different. There's room for all of it. But it's an interesting dynamic industry. And then it's a bigger conversation really, because the nature of the sales part and what has historically been really competitive can make it sometimes harder for people to feel comfortable to be included. And fortunately we have a couple of companies that have positioned themselves to include people and to really bring in and recruit and train and make it more accessible. But every situation is different.
Sure. Your point about women not taking on the brokerage position is really important. And I wonder if that's sort of, you know, how many women operate, that they don't feel confident enough to step into that role, or maybe they didn't realize that they could have that opportunity. What do you think about that trend?
I hear you, but I actually would say it in reverse. So even though I own my own real estate company, and certainly there are other women that do as well, the majority of real estate transactions are happening under big companies, big franchises, and really just think of corporations.
Right.
So the problem is more of a glass ceiling problem, which is a real thing. Mm-hmm. In sure. that when you have a lot of people in limited management or executive positions, sometimes there's a tendency to only promote people or give people opportunities that have always been in those positions. Mm-hmm. So I would say, simply put, it's just historically been the trend that mostly men had been mostly in charge. There are definitely exceptions, and I think they need to be, you know, celebrated and lauded, mm-hmm. but still, typically, it's mostly men.
What do you think women need to hear to kind of take these steps and know that they can be empowered all on their own, with or without a partner, and use it to their advantage, you know?
So in that sense, I want to say two different pieces, if I can. For the individual person or couple or group, for that matter, could be friends, that hasn't already had a conversation, I would encourage you to have a conversation with a real estate professional or even homeowners, and have more than one conversation to see what's possible. There's no obligation, just to see, explore the possibilities. Uh-huh. And I think what motivates and inspires each of us can be very different, but to be able to have the conversation, like, for example, I had a conversation earlier today with someone who didn't know they're waiting for citizenship, and they didn't know that they don't have to have citizenship to be able to buy a home in the US. So sometimes people just don't know what's accessible to them, and they don't know what the requirements are. So just start having those conversations. But whatever those details are will be different for everyone. I will say my story, just the short version, because maybe it will inspire someone. Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking to be a real estate professional at all. I was a frustrated home buyer. I had already been at a pinnacle point in my career, which was in the nonprofit arena, before I came to real estate. And then I got very disillusioned with the behind the scenes politics. And I walked away from what I thought was going to be a lifetime career. I was the executive director of a large nonprofit. And for me, when I walked away, not quite 30 years old, and did some soul searching about, like, I thought I was going to do that. I went to school for that. I had, you know, everything lined up. Right. And then I literally walked away and wasn't sure what I even wanted to do next. Mm-hmm. At that moment in time, I realized I still don't know what I want to do, but I want to own my own house. And I just made that decision. And that process of going to look for my own house, when I didn't even have a job, really, I had like some side work, I had a lot of money saved up, but I mean, I didn't know that if I was going to get a mortgage or not. I thought I was going to go buy some fixer upper with a little bit of saved money and fix it up myself. Mm-hmm. And it opened up a door when I started the process to see all that it could be. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got my house, my first three family, which was my first house in my case, that started me. I got my license at the same time. Within 6 months, I bought my own second investment property. I was helping other people, and I just, I loved it.
Nice. I love that story, because, you know, you really weren't sure, but you just kept moving forward. And I say that all the time about many things to people. Keep moving forward. Ask, and you never know, you know, you ask questions, you ask to have a seat at the table, and most of the time you'll be given one, right? But if you don't ask and you don't step in and keep moving forward, nothing will happen, right?
Exactly. Actually, you know, I think I want to add one more little piece about that. So as we move forward, I think sometimes people can have an unrealistic idea about things like buying a home in particular, or even selling a home for that matter. And sometimes we get such surface information from TV or, you know, anecdote stories, that we think it's a simple process. We think it's just like, oh, I'm just going to make my offer. I'm just going to go see a home. I'm just going to put my sign in the yard. And the truth is, like any major decision in our lives, and buying and selling real estate is a major decision.
Sure.
I don't care who you are. I don't care what the real estate is. It's a major decision. But just like any major decision, like maybe getting married or maybe having children or maybe adopting children, whatever. The truth is, there are a million pieces and a million things that could go wrong in the process, but it will go right for you if you hire the right people and let mm-hmm. them support you through the way. And the reason I say this is not for a personal plug or for anyone in particular, but I have seen sometimes people getting very discouraged when they hit the first bump in the road mm-hmm. because they somehow decide that, oh, it's not meant to be. Oh, maybe it's harder than I thought. Well, it is hard because it's important, but it doesn't have to be like overly challenging. There are people to help guide you. And you know what? People buy houses every day. People sell houses every day and other things. So you can do it. And empowerment is absolutely, to me, the key of the whole thing.
Well, excellent information for everyone. Let's talk for a moment about short-term rentals and Airbnb and those type of companies. That kind of business seems to be growing. More people are interested in that. And is it a viable business opportunity?
Before we talk about the Airbnb part, as far as business, and this is going to be in my new book, I'll tell you just the little thumbnail of it. I remember many years ago, and it was during, I want to say it was probably about 2005, during a particular real estate boom, and the prices were about to go up, and people mm-hmm. were considering, financial investment people were considering that real estate, being a landlord, was a lucrative investment, and that the properties were going to go up in price. So there was that side of it, but also rents were really high at that moment in time. And so you could buy, let's say, a three family, a four family, collect the rents and make a profit. Mm-hmm. Well, and that was great business for many people. Many people I helped to do that. And one day I brought a particular couple. They were lovely people, but they came from the suburbs and they were very affluent. And we walked through a three family that they claimed they were interested in purchasing. And as we walked through the three family, and they were horrified by the tenant's possessions, that was, it happened to be in one of the apartments had young men, and they had a weight mm-hmm. bench instead of a couch in the living room. And they, mm-hmm. you know, they were living their life. I remember the woman in the group that I brought through saying, is this safe to have the weights in the house? Is it going to crush through the floor?
What?
And I thought, I said, well, we're standing here, you know, we have refrigerators and like this, no, that's fine. So yeah. I was like, okay, there's no bad question. It was good that she asked, she wasn't sure. But then it sort of raised my awareness that she wasn't familiar with apartments. Mm-hmm. And her next question was, who hangs up the pictures on the walls? Like, is that the landlord responsibility or not? I think the next thing was the words out of my mouth. I said, have you ever lived in an apartment?
Right. Obviously not.
And she said, no. Mm-hmm. She and her spouse said, no.
Right.
So I said, then what made you interested in wanting to look for a three family or multifamily? They were looking for three or four. Mm-hmm. And those lovely people said, our investment banker told us. Mm. And I said at that time, and I feel strongly about this, which is why I'm recalling this particular story, that if you are not comfortable with the medium of that investment strategy, it is not a good strategy for you. So it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't matter if, you know, it's a great deal or not. And especially with something like real estate, which has so many moving pieces and so many mm-hmm. good opportunities and a lot of risk. This is not without risk. So I want people to go into whatever level of real estate, and then I'll add to it whatever level of business. If you're going to do Airbnb, I want you to go into it with the mindset that you're excited about it and like a love affair, that you love the idea, that you're excited, that you're passionate. So that way, when you hit the little bump in the road, you're happy to roll up your sleeves and figure out how to navigate it and get through it, not be over your head.
That's excellent advice for any kind of business, whatever you want your life to look like. You want to enjoy it, right? Whatever business you're in, whatever, wherever you live, whatever it happens to be. So great advice.
So if you do really love the excitement of setting up something that you can kind of create your own vibe, inviting people, like if you like the idea of hospitality, whether you want to bring them into your own house, like I did, and have them, you know, stay with them and entertain them. I made breakfast mm-hmm. and, you know, got to meet people from all around the world. Or you want to do it more at a distance, like you set up a space that you leave a key somewhere and people have their own privacy, and you're excited to change the sheets in between or whatever mm-hmm. it is. If it's something that you're passionate about and you're excited about, something like Airbnb is a wonderful opportunity. It's just a wonderful vehicle. They make it very easy and accessible to be able to get into short-term rental business. And frankly, on the other side, to travel and to meet people and sort of stay in different places and, mm-hmm. you know, just sort of expand your horizons. So I would strongly encourage that. If it's remotely what you're called to, check it out, talk to people that have done it, get more mm-hmm. information. Even when you get to that point, I would say the one caveat is it doesn't have to be the way someone else did it. So mm-hmm. there's plenty of options, but I would still tell people, and I kind of coach my clients too, that we have to start with what do they love and what do they, you know, what gets them excited, and then create the theme and the image after that. So if you're only worried about, well, what will the public want? What's the most popular? Well, should it be, should I serve breakfast or not? What does everyone else do? That's right. Not the right focus.
Well, we're coming to the end of the interview. There's so much more we could talk about. I'll have to have you back another time.
Great.
Where can people get in touch with you?
Well, I sent you my link for a new property that we're promoting, which actually you can look at the property. It's a unique antique property. It's beautiful and it's being featured in Haven Lifestyles magazine. But there's also a link for contact information that they can connect with me directly, or they can call my office. I think you'll put that in the bio for the thing. And I mean, that's probably the best way to get me. I don't work with everyone. There is a wait list to work with me, but I usually will connect with you personally and at least assess what you need and refer you to the right people if it's not me.
Wonderful. I know that you specialize in unique properties. We didn't even get to that. So I'm so happy that you mentioned that. And I will definitely, I'm sure Flint has put your number and information on the screen as well. Thanks so much for joining me, Sandy.
I'm Dr. Brian Nickel, your cannabis expert for CannabisExpertMD.com. with a cannabis pairing for The Edge Show. My producer, Sam, suggested we do a tea and cannabis pairing. Now, we've already done one of these. I did chamomile tea. Sam suggested we're going to do one with white tea because it's very different. Sam, what's the difference between white tea and plain old regular tea or a chamomile tea?
Right. So chamomile tea isn't really even tea. So the difference between white tea and, say, brown tea is that brown tea has been fermented, and it's actually a lot older. So white tea is actually the earliest picked type of tea. So it's picked during the plant's infancy.
So it's kind of a pure version of tea.
Yes. Yes. Even if it has the most natural kind of tea you can get.
And was it the first tea used?
Right. So how the story goes is that the first Chinese emperor, his name is Shen Nung. Now, the story goes that there was some water that was dirty, so he was boiling the water, and while the water was boiling, a tea leaf flew in there, and that's how tea was made, and it was white tea.
So kind of an accidental discovery, huh?
Yeah, completely accidental.
Well, since we're going with a different kind of tea, not the sleepy time one with like the chamomile was, I was kind of wanting a strain that would perhaps provoke to conversation, interaction if you have some company, but also be the kind of a strain that would let you relax and chill by yourself, maybe enjoy some time out in the garden and get focused in a whole lot on the flowers and plants that are out there. For this, I selected, based on cannabinoid and terpene profiles, as I always do, Natural State Medicinals Tahoe OG Kush. Now, Tahoe OG Kush is potent at 22% total THC. What do you think the CBD is, Mr. Producer?
Trace.
Yes, sir. You are correct once again. Trace CBD is present. Looking at the terpene profiles, we always do to figure out the headspace this particular strain is going to put you in. It is very potent at 3.11% total terpenes. It is heavily myrcene and terpenylene dominant at 1.11% myrcene and 1.02% terpenylene. Next up is pinene at 0.51%. Beta-caryophyllene shows up at 0.24%, limonene's there at 0.14%, and there's just a little showing of humulene at 0.08%. Now, Tahoe OG Kush, now the it should have very hybrid type effects. The myrcene and THC, of course, give a very, very quick head buzz that settles in very nicely with a very chill but not overly sedating base that you're going to see with the terpinolene. The presence of significant pinene, now that's going to give you a little bit of energy and focus. The beta-caryophyllene, now that is going to add to kind of the overall relaxation effect, take care of any depression and anxiety you might be having. The limonene, again, is going to help with anxiety as well as give you a bit of a mood leap. A little bit of humulene in there is not going to be a real big player. Now, that makes really Tahoe OG Kush what I would consider the perfect tea to or perfect strain of flower to enjoy with white tea. Sam, I picked some up the other day. I've got myself, there's different versions of white tea. I didn't know about this. I've got some silver needle tea here. It's pretty good. Sam, I got you the monkey picked. It's actually picked by trained monkeys. For more information on all things medical cannabis, be sure to check us out at CannabisExpertMD.com. We're also available on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and relevant under CannabisExpertMD.
We love it when you watch or listen to The Edge Show on any platform or station. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button, like, and comment. Well, that was a very interesting pairing from Cannabis Expert MD. I love hearing from Sam and seeing his face on the TV video version. Mm-hmm. How great is that?
It's really good that he's, you know, becoming more of a part of the show visually.
I think so.
I think it's been like 2 weeks. This mm-hmm. is like the second week. So kudos,
go Sam. Yes.
I actually sent him a message after the first one that I watched, and I was like, yeah, nice. I love it. It's a great job.
Nice. I love accidental discoveries as well. I bet in history there have been lots of accidental discoveries.
Yeah. We should look that up for next show.
Yes. I mean,
how many times is someone just goofing around and then voila, mm-hmm. sticky notes or something?
Right.
Right.
Know. Well, I think the interview with Sandy was very informative and interesting. And, you know, whatever you decide to do for your life's work, I think her point about making it your own and making all the choices so that you really feel like it's part of you and you're invested in it, I think that's excellent advice, no matter what you choose, whether it's real estate, rentals, or something completely unrelated, right?
Yeah. And I love that you told me the other day that you were kind of showing your friends pictures of the Airbnb that I was setting up mm-hmm. along the way. And they kept giving you input about, oh, I think she should do this. But I love that you just like let me do my own thing and didn't give me any of that input. And it worked out. So
yeah, I know you really well.
Yeah,
and I think that I knew that if I started giving any advice or input, it was going to burn out your fire. That's how I felt anyway.
Yeah.
And I talked with Sandy about that after the interview, and
yeah.
she said I absolutely did the right thing. It had to be yours, and I agree wholeheartedly. So I think you know, if
smart
your partner cookie. Or friend is working on something, just keep encouraging them. Don't give them your input and advice unless they ask for it, and you know, let it be their
self.
Own. For sure. Well, it's been a great show. Have a great week, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The Ed Show is sponsored in part by The Relevant App, 131 Inclusion Gallery, Irie Bliss Wellness, Lindsay Camp with Synergy One Lending,